Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians right along the Southern California coast. Together, we seek to grow in our individual spirituality and in connected community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. For more information, visit our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, God's Son, happened just as it was written about in the prophecy of Isaiah. Look, I am sending my messenger before you. He will prepare your way. A voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make his path straight. John the Baptist was in the wilderness calling for people to be baptized to show that they were changing their hearts and lives and wanted God to forgive their sins. Everyone in Judea and all the people of Jerusalem went out to the Jordan River and were being baptized by John as they confessed their sins. John wore clothes made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey. He announced, "One stronger than I am is coming after me. I'm not even worthy to bend over and loosen the strap of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Ah, the holiday season, a time of joy, but oh, the rush and the hustle. Christmas time often means loading up the car with family, luggage, presents, and more. It's often a chaotic time where we can't help but remember the nostalgia of those Norman Rockwell-esque Christmases of the past. But did they ever really live up to our expectations? The reality of this season is that while it might look warm and fuzzy in old photographs, it can be pretty complicated. Just as Jesus' arrival in the world involved a long, perilous journey, our road to Christmas may require us to buckle up for an exhausting and exhilarating journey of our own. This Advent, we invite you on a road trip, the journey to Christmas.
I have shared before that in my childhood, we would go on trips pretty much every summer. We would generally alternate locations. Sometimes we would go to visit my maternal grandmother in Missouri. Remember, that's how she said it. And those other summers, we would go to a little town outside of Colorado Springs to visit my paternal grandparents. At one point, my dad bought a van because my mom told him to. And he bought this sizable 12-passenger van. And the reason they wanted this sizable 12-passenger van is because they regularly traveled with their children. And they wanted three rows of seats in the back to separate them. So my parents, while my mom was still alive, my parents would sit in the two front seats, the bucket seats, and then there were three rows. My younger sister was in the row closest to them. She would, when she traveled in her car seat, and then when she was out of a car seat, she would always have, you know, all of her things with her. And then my middle sister, Liz, would sit in the middle row. And then, you know, it's a good-sized van, and the back was for me. I was taller, but I had the longer seat. And one of the things that I remember is there was a soundtrack, always. I don't know if it's this way for you. When you get on a road trip, you spend a lot of time in the car, there's generally some kind of media play. And in our car, it was always music. I confess to you that I'm old enough that those earlier years were on 8-track before we moved to cassette tape. My mother was a consummate country music fan. So we, in those days, were constantly listening to Kenny Rogers. Dolly Parton, still love me from Dolly Parton. The Oak Ridge Boys, I still contend that it is the Oak Ridge Boys, oh, Elizabeth, that gave my middle sister her name. But as I aged a little bit, and as technology advanced to the pinnacle of music technology in the Walkman, I had my own cassette tape and headphones, and I developed my own sound. And it was largely influenced by bands like Depeche Mode and Phil Collins. And a little bit later, things like Van Halen and Guns N' Roses. But I had my soundtrack. I wonder if you have been on a road trip and you had your soundtrack. And those sounds, those musical tones, those lyrics, those emotions all connected to that music. I was talking with Diana this morning. We talked about how music can be thought of as emotion without words. And you all bring up that emotion each and every week. There's one particular story that my dad has told more than once. He always tells it better than me, but I'll do my best. As we were on a road trip and we were going to his parents' house, my paternal grandparents, outside of Colorado Springs, and we were driving through the Colorado Springs. I imagine, I don't remember this specifically myself, I'm told that everyone in the car except him was sleeping. But I imagine a road sort of like this, maybe without the Santa Barbara head. And certainly without the GPS. Here, a quick aside, did you all remember that AAA would make what's called a triptych? Weren't those wonderful? I mean, we do it all now with our phones, don't we? And that's great. But we have this triptych, and so my dad was following the triptych. I said, you flip your phone, you flip the pages over, and they've got a highlighted in there for the route that you're supposed to take. Listen, I like the GPS. It gets me around traffic jams. But this was the analog technology that took us to the digital technology we have now. Anyway, my dad is on this Colorado path high in the mountains, and there's snow on the sides of the roads, and the roads have been plowed. But sometimes weather happens, and there is a patch of black on it. And I never saw it coming. And the way he tells the story is he's driving, and there's a few cars on the highway, and he hits this patch of black ice, and he just loses control. There's nothing he can do. Of course, he lets off the accelerator, but if he hits the brakes, that's bad news. He tries to steer, that's probably not great either. A couple of cars ahead of him. He watches them as they come closer and closer to each other. And he's getting right in there like a three-way crash. Well, these two cars hit, and they split. And he goes, "Oh, that's the end." Do you have your road trip stories? Do you have your soundtrack? Do you have those stories of having your Thomas guide in your car? Looking at the grid, right? So you find the right location. Your triptych. Maybe more recent, your GPS. Those things that guide us on the way. Those things that we understand on paper or even in a limited way on technology that help us know we're on the right path. And maybe a few stories where there's something that keeps us on the right track and we're not even sure how it happens or where it comes. John the Baptist goes to the wilderness. We might imagine the wilderness 2,000 years ago and what it looks like. But we might understand the parallel as we lifted up prayers of heartbreak, of loss, of violence. We might observe the world today that can feel like wilderness. We long for the voice that cries out. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. John says, the world is not. entered heaven. And his hope and his life. Of course, he says it in a way that we're familiar with. He says, look, I am sending my messenger before you. He will prepare your way. A voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. It occurs to me as I read these words of John the Baptist, the words are an invitation. I'm sending my messenger before you. He will prepare your way. A voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. But it's an invitation to follow. That to me, it sounds like you don't have to. But we are drawn toward the light. We are called to the light. But we're not forced into it. We would choose the darkness over the light. We can. We're invited towards the light. We're invited to take the narrow path. We're invited to take the path that is straight and narrow. I would suggest we should. I would suggest that's the right way. We don't have to. We can go our own way. When we were working on this series, a series that I think I have shared with you, developed for the Pennsylvania Annual Conference and made available to all United Methodist churches. What accompanied this series were some resources that we use now for the congregation-wide Advent study. There are some hymn suggestions that Bob has, and Bob is still good at picking hymns, by the way. He may or may not use all of those, but those were made available as well. And one of the things that was also made available were some other songs, so that we might remember our own soundtrack and how a few things might remind us of our faith, our spirituality. And so throughout this message today, I'll share a few things. So I want to remind you with that aside, that the proclamation from John the Baptist, as he quotes the prophet Isaiah, is an invitation, but doesn't necessarily compel us. We can indeed go our own way.
Is it the right thing to do? How can I ever change the things that I feel? If I could, maybe I'd give you my word. How can I say you will take it from me? You can go your own way.
Music can be unspoken emotion. And sometimes the soundtracks of our lives can bring back particular memories or particular emotions. And as we're reminded by our friends in the UCC church, God is still speaking. And we remember from the story of John the Baptist in the wilderness, God's voice can sometimes come from unexpected places. Well, as we continue hearing about John the Baptist, we remember, as he says, a voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. We may remember that he's quoting from the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, who in the 40th chapter, particularly voice 3 through 5, says, a voice is crying out, clear the Lord's way in the desert, make a level highway in the wilderness for our God. Every valley will be raised up, and every mountain and hill will be flattened. Even uneven ground will become level, and rough terrain a valley plain. The Lord's glory will appear, and all humanity will see it together. And think about some of the prayers that we're looking at today. As we have now been following the Lord, Matthew, the name of the Lord, the loss of life. In my many, many conversations with people who find out for the first time that I'm a pastor. And of course, the two things that happen right away, one is they stop cussing. And the second is they tell me the last time they went to church and why they don't anymore. And very often come stories of tragedy and loss. But it feels as though there's not any hope. And there's no answer for why those terrible things happen in their lives and even to them. But I suggest that John is suggesting that there is always hope. And surely we are on an advent journey, as we are on our spiritual journey in life, as we seek greater and fuller assurance of God's presence in our lives, and that we're on the right path, aren't we often asking the same question that my sisters and I asked in that 12th passenger van? Are we getting it? And when you're in the midst of that, in the midst of tragedy, there are questions sometimes echo that same sentiment. How do I know what will be? Isn't there someone there? Are we there yet? I'm not going to sing any Bob Dylan for you today, but his son was in a band in the 90s called The Wallflowers. He wrote a song about love. It was recorded in the moment of hope.
So long ago, I don't remember when. That's when they say I love my only friend. Died easy of a broken heart, as I looked into the cemetery.
That last line of the section that John the Baptist quotes, the Lord's glory will appear and all humanity will see it together. It reminds me of the Gospel of Luke, I believe, where John the Baptist is also quoted in a more extensive way than in the Gospel of Luke. Where in that Gospel, the voice cries out, clear the way in the desert, every valley will be raised, every mountain will be flattened, and all flesh see the salvation of God. All flesh, regardless of the ways we and our culture and our society divide ourselves, all flesh shall see the salvation of God. This reminds me of one of my favorite songs promise is familiar to you. Now the words, although the words won't be on the screen, you might follow along, you might know it that way. It's a song that is a song of vision and hope and possibility. From one of my mom's favorite artists, John Denver. We continue to pray.